Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Thursday night at the Speakeasy Cafe. We would like to invite you to take the stage for the Sound of Ink open mic poetry night. Now, let's get started. I want your ink in our ears.
Michael.
Hello.
Oh, you're there. Yay. It's going to be an incredible night. I am so excited about tonight. We have Apollo joining us later. And I have been waiting for this interview with him. I mean, I'm all Twitter-pated. It's going to be awesome. Do you want to, I want to start off the show playing a piece of his. Do you want to hear one?
Absolutely. I love his work.
Yay. Okay. Let's go ahead and get the show started. First of all, poets, we would love to have you join us today and read some of your poetry on the air with us and put your ink in our ears. The number is 646-595-3965 if you'd like to call in. And we're going to start off with a piece by Apollo called P.S. Inspiration.
That's what I went through. I remember when I wrote my first poem. My pencil broke halfway in, so I grabbed a pen and I squeezed it until it bled to death. I could have taken that as a sign and walked away from this thing called poetry, but how could you walk away from something that you are? Nah. You can only ignore it by having a staring contest with a mirror that doesn't reflect what it sees. Millions of trees are destroyed to create this paper. No wonder why the notebook feels like oxygen to me. It makes me feel alive. It makes me strive to get to the top of a mountain so I can look down at the world and say, why aren't you up here with me? And why am I not down there with you? So I climb down because I spent my entire life trying to get out of the bottom. But that's where I feel the most comfortable. Because when you're on the bottom, you have something to look up to. You have something to aspire to. You have everybody around you. But when you're on the top, you can only look down at the millions of hands that are growing out of the soil to try to get a piece of the sky. So you pray for thunderstorms. You pray for the rain to shower. You pray for the raindrops to shoot down like bullets from heaven. So those hands can grow out of the soil and turn into arms. So those arms can push against the soil and pull their souls out of the dirt that they were buried in. So as a poet, you need to be obsessed with decimal points and numbers, such as 2, 93, 1 billion. 2, the amount of minutes that goes by before another woman is raped. 93 million, the amount of missing women in the world today, with most of them being victims of a sex trade, trapped in a country that doesn't speak their language, lost in a world that has forgotten their cause. 1 billion. The amount of people who live below the poverty line and making less than $1 per day. 854 million. The amount of human beings who are starving this very second while you're sitting in your chair judging me. So instead of giving me 10 points, give $10 a month to a charity. Instead of us competing against each other, let's compete with each other. Let us create poetry that inspires us to change the world. Let each one of our words turn into a sledgehammer that bash the bricks that create the Berlin Wall inside of our hearts. I don't write to win a poetry slam, I write to get poetry slammed. I'm a wolf, and you're nothing but poetry's lamb. Oh, I remember when I wrote my first poem, and I hope the day never comes when I write my last.
Wasn't that amazing?
That was amazing. I loved the finish on that one.
I cannot listen to him without just getting chills. His words are so powerful, and it's been really neat getting to know him. He's just such a humble and down-to-earth person. You're going to absolutely love to interview with him later on when you get a chance to talk to him, but we have a poet on hold, and I am going to bring them on the air and see what they have for us. 805, you are on the air.
Hey, this is Lorenzo.
Hey, you. How are you?
Hey, what's up? Pretty good.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear from you. You've got a surprise for us tonight, I hear.
Yeah, kind of tonight. This one's a little different from what I did last week, so this one's a little bit more intense. This one's called Harsh Reality. So here we go.
Okay.
I was dreaming when I saw peace surrounding me, people alive and free, and women captivating me with their essence and beauty, a house on a hill, decorations on the windowsill, and a father making his child happy and heart-filled, a school to learn and play, a teacher with positive inspiration to say, and everyone coexisting each and every day, a soldier coming home with pride, a surprise party awaited him inside. I looked around and joy was something no one wanted to hide. But then I woke up, and there was a war ravaging on, insecurity treating women wrong, and discrimination down south that has gone on for way too long. Wildfire spreading like a disease, destroying whatever it may please, with smoke making it hard to breathe through the breeze. A father not at his house, a husband not loving his spouse, and a child all alone, helped is what it shouts. A mistakable bond between a student and teacher, enticed by each other's physical feature. But the relationship will shake up their school and town like a seizure. A soldier with memory loss, even dealing with personal and support loss. Images in his head are now filled with violence and chaos. Now I wish I could go back to sleep because of this harsh reality.
Wow. Holy shit, wow.
Yeah, you were right. You're definitely more intense.
Yeah.
How long have you been writing?
I've been writing for about, I'd say about roughly 4 years now.
What got you started?
Excuse me?
What got you started?
Just a lot of personal issues involving like family related issues. I've dealt with cousins being locked away. I've dealt with deaths in a family. In fact, in 2006, from January through the month of March, I lost uncles. I even lost my grandmother. And I think what inspired this piece was, it wasn't so much what was going on like family wise, but what was going on in my neighborhood and just the world around me. And like the line where I say, wildfire spreading like a disease, destroying whatever it may please, I was referring to, I'm sure you remember the San Diego wildfires that was going on. Well, my aunt and uncle lived down in San Diego, and they had to move out of their house with the risk of it being burned down. So.
Wow. Well, you have a real strong pen and real strong voice, and I'm real, real happy you're taking our stage. That's two incredible pieces you've shared with us. Tell everybody how to find you.
MySpace.com/LJR559805. Once again, it's MySpace.com/LJR559805.
Well, I am looking forward to what you bring next because I'm definitely, definitely becoming a big fan of yours.
Thank you. And like, I think next time I'll try to find a little bit more of a happier piece. So.
You know, it takes all kinds of poetry, and we all write from the soul, so, you know, you never know who's going to be listening or what they need to hear. So, yeah, it's all good.
It's all good, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us, and I look forward to hearing more from you, and I know everyone else does as well.
All right, thanks. Thanks, both. Nyla, thank you. Thank you. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
Mm-hmm. You too.
That was wonderful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. It was a treat.
All right, let's get the next caller up to the mic. 312, you are on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Who do we have here?
Oh, you've got AVR.
Hi.
How are you, Nyla?
I'm doing great. It is so good to hear from you.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to find the time to call in today, but I managed to squeeze it in.
Well, I'm happy that you did. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. What did you bring for us tonight, honey?
I'm actually going to read an excerpt from my book, and the book is called Dearest and Most Precious, A Love Journal. And mm-hmm. this excerpt is also on my CD, Intimately Yours, but on the CD it has Chuck Berglund's wonderful soundscape behind it. but I'll just read it without any soundscape. It still amazes me that you want me so. I can feel your desire so strongly. I can almost touch it, and it envelops me, taking me on a journey that I am destined to take. I go willingly, eager to share and explore the pleasures that await. I wish to express my love for you in any way that presents itself. We joined where time and space doesn't exist, and when we connect on that level here, the joy it gives me is indescribable. Mere words cannot begin to touch on how I feel. I would need a visual and a melody that I barely remember in the forgetfulness of this existence.
Wow, you've got such an amazing voice.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me about your book.
Oh, it's a love journal, but it's basically I had all these little scraps of paper of things that I had written over the years, you know, to past loves, and they were lying all over the place, and my husband said, Alice, you should really do something with that. He goes, I know you didn't write most of that about me, but, you know, you should do something. So I put it together and kind of arranged everything so that it would seem like it would be for one person and kind of in the present. And I added some things to tie so it ties in together, and there's four parts to it. And it's a pretty easy read. So basically that's what it is.
Well, you have to be very proud of yourself, and I'm sure that your husband's proud, too, because that's just beautiful. And the way that you read it and stuff is, I mean, your voice is just perfect, and you, it's so soothing, and you're listening to it, and you just get drawn into the way that you read. So tell us, tell us how to find your book.
Actually, you can get it at Amazon.com. It's Dearest, called Dearest and Most Precious, a Love Journal. And I'm Alice Vedral Rivera, so you could look it up either under my name or under the title of the book. You can also get it at my publisher, and that's AuthorHouse.com. And if you go to my MySpace page, I think I have a link to Author House, but I think it's cheaper on Amazon.com. So.
Okay, and what is your MySpace page?
My MySpace page is MySpace / Alice V, as in Victor, Rivera.
Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for calling in and reading. It was definitely a pleasure, and you're welcome on the stage anytime, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
No problem at all. Thank you for sharing with us.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye, honey. I love it when she reads.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Yep. Okay. Let's find our next poet. Let's see. You want to unmute 856 for me?
Sure.
Okay.
856, you're on the air.
How you doing, Speakeasy?
Excellent.
We're doing good. How are you?
All right. This is KY.
Oh, hi.
Hey, man. How are you?
All right.
I get so excited when my favorites call in. Oh. Tell us what's going on with you, what's going on with your book in your life. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. The book is going pretty good. I had a book signing last week that went very well. I have a show in Duluth, Minnesota on Wednesday at 7:30 at Beaner's Concert Coffee House downtown in Duluth, so that should be some fun. Have some things coming up in the future that I'm still working on trying to work out. Show in Philly out in July and things like that. So it's coming along. I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
Wonderful. Are you going to read something to us out of the book today?
I'm going to read you something that isn't in the book. I wrote this after one of the most recent school shootings, and I myself am a college student, and I've just come to learn that anything can happen anywhere, and I just wanted to write something and share how I felt and try and put myself in those victim's shoes and everything like that. This poem is called Gunshots in the Hallway. Gunshots in the hallway, shells on the floor and blood on the chalkboards. This wasn't a part of the lecture. The possibility of dying wasn't in the course description. Helpless. So helpless because this selfish motherfucker can't get shit straight in his head. So he wants everyone dead. Innocence randomly erased and left behind is no trace or explanation for the devastation he breathes with his hands. Questions. Questions that we are left with. Why? They'll cry until they are granted that peace. Inconsiderate thieves. Stolen lives at the hands of the mentally ill. And we just want to know why. The candlelit visuals and week-long memorials provide us with zero justice. The chaos was concluded by suicide and to confirm the amount that died. Stacked upon pain are the slain and dreams of a higher learning. Candles burning at the hands of classmates. Face erased. It has been filled with a chair in the classroom. Assignments long overdue. This homework will last me a lifetime. And there are no signs that NIU will be the last. So I pray for my class. And may their mind states remain sane and hope that they will never, ever forget this pain. Never forget this pain.
Damn, hon. You know, I'm the mother of three boys, and when the Columbine High School shootings were what happened, I was in Colorado and had kids in school there in Colorado at the time that went on, and it was incredibly horrific. And, you know, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a student in that situation. And you wrote that so amazingly.
Thank you. I remember when the Columbine thing happened. I was in eighth grade, and I remember just sitting in class.
You're making me feel old.
Yeah. I was in eighth grade. Well, I'm only 21, so. But I was in eighth grade, and I just remember looking around the classroom and just, you can't even attempt to imagine what type of scene that would be, and that's just horrible. And it's a shame that it's kind of happening more and more and more, and it's really a problem. So I don't know. I really don't know.
That was an incredible, incredible poem. Do you have that posted anywhere where we can look at it again?
Yes, I have the audio file of that poem on my MySpace page, myspace.com/KWHYPoet, KY Poet.
Okay, you need to send me that audio file, and I'll put it on the Speakeasy page player as well.
Okay. I can do that. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Oh, you are wonderful, and make sure you throw your book information on our page as well.
Okay.
All righty?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Damn, Q. What'd you think of that?
That was awesome. That really was awesome. The imagery.
Blood on the chalkboard. Wow. Okay, let's get to our next poet. Oh, I love these. I love these poets. I'm always late tonight. Okay. 856, you are on the air.
856, I'm on the air. I usually go by the name is Quasimodo, but I can go by 856 on the air. I mean, you can call me that. What's up, kid?
Not a whole lot, baby. How are you?
Well, I'm hanging loose. You know, I'm battling a few demons here and there. My luck, they have claws and fangs. Where's a good succubus when you need one? You know what I'm saying? What the heck? Anyway, what's that?
Not a whole lot. I want you to know I do have the bandana and the cowboy hat and the horse ready, but I'm still looking for the spurs and the saddle. So,
yeah, well, I
you
appreciate
know.
That, kid. They're torturing me to death, but that's all right. I'll get back at it. Anyway, I got a poem here. I'm not really sure about it. It's called Do Poets Lie? You know how your muse goes sometimes? It just feeds you words and you say, I don't want to write this. But she forced me, so here it goes. It's a poem called Do Poets Lie? And, of course, I never practice anything, so I'm going to improv it. So here we go. Do poets lie? I cannot pierce the veil, the fog, the mist. My vision fails me, alas, I must lament. Do poets lie? Is a mother's love true? Was Christ indeed crucified? If so, what the frig did he do? Is a child's laugh true innocence? Is a dog's loyalty true? Was JFK murdered? If so, what the frig did he do? There, out there, shrouded in mystery and false alarm, lies a better truth. Violins play music pitched for my ears only. I follow the melody through the fog and the mist towards the dim light growing brighter with every step. At first it was a threnody, but it changed as I approached, became a pleasant memory of whom I loved the most. An explosion of light blinded me, had me stricken on the ground. A voice out of the light boomed, what do you seek, you who call himself poet? You have traveled this long, dark, and lonely road and have found me. And for that, I will grant you this one boon. You have but one question, and then you must face your doom. I gathered my courage, for that is what I sought. One question I had, and if doom be my destiny, I would pay the cost. I wobbled up from the ground and stood upright. I glinted and squinted into that bright light. One question I have. Do poets lie? It rumbled, laughed, and seemed full of mirth. The phases shifted, blended, became unified. Such a simple answer to such a simple question. You traveled this road for one simple indiscretion? Poets do not lie. They are simply mirrors. Reflections of their souls from whence their words spring. However, poet, there is one or two who do what you do. See humankind for all that it's worth. Perhaps your words can save it. Become a rebirth. The light began to fade, but the voice, still full of mirth, whispered and laughed. Your answer is your curse. Do poets lie? That be it.
You know, you don't have to practice. You're just awesome.
Stop it.
Aw, quit it.
Just saying it, which is true.
I know. Oh, you're so wonderful.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate
Honey Bunches of Oats, tell us how to find you.
Okay, usually in the post office, and you'll see a picture of me in the most wanted section. You can find me there. I'm Quasimodo. I usually do something wrong, so. But no, but seriously, myspace.com, Quasimodo the Lone Wolf. That's about it.
You're amazing, sweetie. Thank you so much for calling in and reading. That was a great piece.
Thank you very much. Great show.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye, hon.
Bye.
He's always so much fun.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Shall we see who's next?
I think we should.
Let's go. We have 706. You are on the air.
Hey, it is Diamond J.
Hey, Diamond.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hi, honey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I've missed you the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was kind of MIA, but then I was on Cesura last night, and Jason was pushing me to do something, but I had just written something yesterday, and I wasn't comfortable doing it at first.
Yeah, I know that.
But now I got the okay, so.
Lay it on us, sweetheart.
Huh?
I said lay it on us.
Okay. This one is called The World We Live In, and it's basically me venting because of something that happened to me throughout the course of yesterday. So this was my way of releasing it. So it's called The World We Live In. Can't we all just get along? Hell no. Why? Because ignorance is bliss. I could make a year-long list of reasons why we can't live as one, but I'll chop it down a few and list only some. For starters, some of y'all need to get out of your head that you're all that in a bag of chips. If you're stuck up on yourself that much, then you really ain't. Why you gotta act all high and mighty like you the biggest thing in town? You stepped on people to get there, but eventually you gotta come back down to reality and live in the real world. But you've been in the cloud so long, you can't handle the swirls of reality. Life's a bitch, ain't it? And what about you drug dealers, gangbangers, bloods, and crips alike? Instead of going after the real enemy, y'all choose each other out of spite. Y'all quick to kill your own before going into their zone. I guess that means they really got the complexion for the protection. My real wish is for y'all to stop the bullshit all the way around, but it's wishful thinking, so I know it ain't going down. It sickens me to see some of my people act stupid and whack. White man this, white man that. I can count the number of white men on one hand that ever tried to sell me crack. Clap back and splat, put another brother on his back. That's the way to live now, huh? Y'all full of it, stuck on stupid and dumb. And all y'all people who rock in the white hoods, y'all ain't no better. Living in the 21st century with the same mentality of your ancestor. Got the nerve to hate and be mad at us because we here. But y'all know good and well we didn't ask to be here. None of y'all ain't going nowhere, and neither are we. So why don't we try something new so that the Most High can forgive thee? If you don't fall in these categories mentioned, then I ain't talking to you. But if this makes you feel uncomfortable, pisses you off, or makes you feel some type of way, then yeah, I'm talking to you. Because more than likely, you fall somewhere in the spots I just mentioned. Open up your eyes and stop living in that one-sided dimension. Expand your mentals and be willing to learn more. We all see the same moon, sun, and stars, so what the hell we fighting each other for? Your way or the highway? I'd rather go my own way. Life's too short to be squabbling over dumb stuff every day. Why the hell can't we just get along? Because nobody wants to admit when they're wrong. Nobody wants to man up and take responsibility. Instead, they'd rather lie about it or later on be found out guilty. It don't take much to be humble, but people act like football. They're scared to fall or make a fumble. The only perfect person walked this planet over 2 G's ago. Even he had his moments, so what the hell you scared for? There are those who feel the same way I do, but not enough of it is going around, so it's hell to pay times two. Got people in other countries blowing each other up for beliefs that are whack. But here is mental and spiritual warfare because they too proud to admit that they are human and no different from the next. It don't take much to rewrite the history text. Then again, there's a better chance of that happening. There's a better chance of Stevie Wonder getting his sight back before the theory becomes fact. But the brother can still dream and hope for that, right? The end.
Oh, man. That was awesome.
I slipped up on the last one of it towards the stretch.
That was incredible. That really was.
Do you know what's amazing about your reading?
What's that?
And your writing, the way that you write, I can tell when you read, it's the way you're thinking it in your brain. You're absolutely a natural at spoken word poetry, because when you read that, even with your rhyme pattern, when you read that, it flows so naturally, and you just get caught up and carried along with it, and it's not forced, and it's not over-exaggerated, and it just flows incredibly smooth. You really are good.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I was kind of scared to do this, because I know this is a touchy subject. But someone told me, you know, if the people you're speaking to don't feel what you're describing, then it shouldn't be a problem. So
you know, baby, anything that you write, someone needs to hear. And if we all write about flowers and daisies, and never write about the tough stuff, what does that say about us? You know, we have to be willing to step out and take a chance. I think it was Sylvia Bright that said, you know, everything is writable. I don't remember the exact quote, but, you know, in theory it was, you know, you can write about anything, and you should, and be strong and be brave and take chances, and that was an amazing piece.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me speak it.
You're welcome on this stage. Yeah, go ahead, Q. I'm sorry, honey.
I was just saying you're welcome here anytime, my man.
No, I won't be a stranger. And people want to find me, they can find me on myspace.com/diamond_J.
Thank you so much for calling in and reading, honey.
All right, no problem. And I promise not to be a stranger.
All right. Yay.
All right, y'all take it easy.
Thanks, honey. Poets, we do have full phone lines. We are getting to you as quickly as possible, and let's take the next caller right now. 808, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
This is from the web. My name is Kaleo from the island of Kauai. And
Hello.
I go by Son the One. My real name is Kaleo. Translation, The Heavenly Voice.
Right.
And I really appreciate you guys getting in touch with me, and I'm excited to speak this piece right here. This actually got me on the national team for the island of Kauai, and I'm excited to speak for you guys.
You know, I have been looking at your page and reading your poetry for a little bit, and I am really, really, really excited that you called in. I've invited you a couple of times, so
yeah,
I'm really glad you finally made it here.
I'm in the Hawaii time, so it's kind of different. It's like, can you guys hear me clear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys hear me pretty clear?
Yes, you're doing. Yeah, we can hear you fine, Dave.
Okay, cool. I really appreciate it. I'm stoked to have this opportunity. So, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
This is entitled "Your Perspective Needs to Go to Rehab." Respect is earned, they say, as she sets limits on cloudless horizons and cowards towards epic sunrises bringing forth joy. You say respect is given. Well, that's funny, Sam, because you don't even respect yourself. Hectic seems humanity concerned only to deplete one's health. It was sort of like now, when I was struggling and striving and got locked down in my sleep and tried to scream for help but couldn't. Serving two servants, I certainly wasn't strong enough to shield myself, you see. I need that help. Oh, Heavenly Master, please reveal yourself. What I thirst for has already been instilled within me, myself. It was you, the ugly truth. The unacceptable answer whose aftermath remained as is, unjudgmental throughout self-medicated marathon labyrinth hamsters to vanish from spiritual cancer, you see. I don't exactly know what God who or is, but what I do know isn't godly, not viewed oddly, always viewed pure, belonging to a force, a light, unimaginable. Shattering transparent castles, harboring terror. Break free your mental shackles. Absurd peganist pterodactyls hackling behind three-piece suits, prioritizing the lasso or better said noose. Because blissfully ignorant saran wraps bubble goose ignoring certainty. Expeditiously prioritize your impulsive exterior comprehension. You and all we see is connected, shall we? Impunity from the community designed derelict, economical, economic rat trap, wolves disguised within lamb's wool. Beware of those who deliver justice and peace ramble, nothing but extinction when they speak. Observe clashes of corporations, guinea pig in the weak now. Picture she pure, sober, untainted, illuminated by an unexplained direction of radiance once bloomed wings. Possibility bursting out of cocoon dreams, freely fleeing beyond bunkered lewdness, fueling literature, littering longitude and latitude, battle between heaven and Haiti, we exist, selfless, still suspended, with true intentions, there we was, betrayed before befriended, invaded before infiltration, fruit strange, how it decays, awkwardly splendid amongst orchards, oblivious, genetics, demented, girls gone Babylon, a lark stagnant thoughts from depressions. Lessons like clockwork, spiritually descending, destined, collapse and deception, ridding the masses of all that's petty, evil flesh and pain. God bless the child and able to inquire question, which answers inflicts the fire of change. And that's
are
it
there?
Right there. Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. That was amazing, honey.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, and I didn't catch it the first. You said you were the champion wear what? You want to tell me that again?
We're doing a national team on the island of Kauai for poetry slams, and we're trying to get this movement out here because there's not really a scene out here for poetry on the island of Kauai. But we're trying to get a seat so we can actually have a team to compete nationally. So I just won the second seat for the island of Kauai, and we have like three more spots. But I'm a hip hop artist too, also out here, and you know, we're just trying to spread the good word, you know, and open people's minds, you know.
That is incredible, hon. Tell us how to find you.
You can find me on myspace.com, and it's under Son the One. It's SONDAONE, and yeah, I'm pretty much on there. Please, you know, get in contact. I'd love to collab with anybody, or you know what I mean. And I'm just here and blessed, definitely blessed.
Wonderful.
I hate to say it too, but I missed your URL. Would you mind giving it one more time?
This Paul. The pardon me.
The your website. Have you given a URL?
That we're yeah, my URL's under Son the One. SONDAONE. Yeah.
All right.
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, poet, and please be sure to call in again.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Aloha.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Oh, that was cool. Aloha. Yay. Okay, let's get our next poet up here. That was awesome. Oh. Okay, here we go. I am taking 323. 323, you are on the air.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. I haven't been on in a little while, but I thought I'd give another call. You got a lot of really, really amazing poets on tonight. Very powerful stuff.
It's been exciting.
Yeah, and I understand Apollo's on the show, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's going to be our guest tonight, yes.
Amazing stuff. He's got amazing stuff. Okay, so anyway, I've got a poem here to read, if you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, it's called Lost Humanity. Broken thoughts of scattered minds conceal a lonesome truth. In the solitude where one can't find a seed to bear them fruit. In the empty fields where man has buried the soul of his humanity, to be quickly replaced by cold, blind faith in science and technology. Where copper wires fill plastic housings of things we now desire, creating a legacy of untouched hearts sinking deeper in the mire. Numbing our minds with colorful pills designed to dull the pain of knowing but not understanding what's driving us insane. We've only ourselves to blame. But if we'd stop and breathe the air of springtime on a breeze, we may just find the angels there would gladly set us free to regain our lost humanity. And that's it.
Untouched heart sinking deeper into the mire. That was a beautiful piece, honey.
Thank you very much.
So are you going to tell me who this is now?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to tell me who this is now?
Oh, I forgot. Daniel Roxburgh.
Oh, hi, Keith.
How are you? It's good to be on the show again. You guys are amazing. It's always an honor.
Oh, it is absolutely amazing to have you here. Tell us how to find you, babe.
It's danielroxburgh.com. DanielRoxburgh.com.
Make sure that it's not so long next time before you call back in. That was an incredible read. I like sharing you with everybody.
Oh, man, that's, I don't know what to say. That's kind of one of my older pieces, too. I just feel like there's so many really powerful spoken word poets out there, and I'm just a little guy in the corner somewhere. I just don't, they're amazing. I listen to these guys, and they're very moving. They get your emotions going. It's great stuff.
You know, that's one of the things I love. Go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
No, no. Go ahead now.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's one of the things that I absolutely love about the poets who call in, is because it's such an incredibly large and diverse group of voices and different styles and everything like that, and to be able to offer them all in one venue where we all inspire and learn from each other and, you know, cry and laugh and it's just, it's I love this. I absolutely love it. I love the different voices.
Yeah, I guess that in that way, you guys are really got a great thing going on. You're very lucky to be able to do that all the time. It's got to be a wonderful thing.
Well, we were very lucky to have you with us tonight and share that piece because it was wonderful. And I would really hope that you call in again soon, dear.
Thank you very much. Have an awesome
You're
night.
Welcome. You too, hon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was awesome. Okay, poets, I'm getting to you as quickly as possible. We are taking our next call right now, and it is 816. You're on the air.
Hello, Nyla. Hello, Q.
Hey.
Hey, it's Morgan.
How are you?
Fine. Yeah, every time I call in, I'm always behind people who leave me speechless. Now I'm going, trying to regain my composure so I can read. So how are you guys?
You're so cute when you giggle.
Okay.
I'm great myself.
That's good. Okay, I'm going to read something. It's called Slipping Away.
Okay.
I reach out my hand for you, grasping in the darkness, trying to feel your warmth as a chill runs through me. The smell of death lingers, and I struggle to call your name, but silence is your only reply. I shudder in the cold, wondering what happened and where you are. I'm trying to reach you, to cross this distance that seems too much for me, and my strength is fading fast. Something in my mind says, to save myself, escape. That I can feel my life fading. I whisper your name, hoping that you found a way out of the darkness. My eyes are wet with tears, and the metallic taste of blood is in my mouth, a sign of my passing. The snow is... I reach for you again, knowing that I am inches away, but it still seems too far. With my very last breath, I can see you there, a lifeless illusion, laying in wait, beckoning death with your outstretched hand. As I finally begin slipping away, I realize for the very last time, you are already out of reach. And.
Mm. Oh, that was such an emotional piece.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wow.
My little heart going thump, 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 thump.
So is mine.
You got me
your
speechless over
is...
here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
She's talking to you, Q.
I said you have me speechless over here. That was really
good. Oh, I have Q speechless. You have to write more poetry like that. No, we like hearing you talk.
What is your what's your MySpace page, maybe, so everyone can come read more from you?
It's myspace.com/mistressoflightinthedark.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in, Morgan. You're amazing.
You've had a great show so far. I'm going to go back and enjoy the rest.
Okay.
You guys have a great
Thank
night.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Bye.
You too. Okay. Let's keep the mic hot.
Oh, yeah.
And 301, you are on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are, dear.
How you guys doing?
You're doing good.
I'm a little nervous. Can you forgive me?
Who is this?
The Son of Man.
Oh, excellent.
Well, hello.
How are you?
Doing wonderful.
That was good, Q.
You're among friends.
All right, I'm going to do this. I read this a while ago, but I got a little nervous on it. I want to try it again. It's called Dancing in the Shadows.
All right.
All right, here you go. A dance in the shadows, a child of the night. the DJ plays the tune. I elude the light. Open call at the altar. I chase open calls at the bar. Though I fall short of the glory, he takes me as I are. I commune to open mics, break bread among poetry. Yet I turn away from the Lord, and it's his gifts he's showing me. I refuse to lose, but I constantly chase sin. Am I being a voice amongst my peers, or using this to chase women? I linger in lust as I write out my temptation. Thus the Lord speaks to me, illuminating what I call my imagination. They say the wage of sin is death, and I constantly double down. It's like calling out death, yet you don't want to go underground. If I was touched like Abraham and kept my covenant at hand, and accept the rights to sit at his right hand, my enemies will be beneath me, and I shall not want. Yet the ego that embarks me, like greed, it flaunts. I dance in the shadows seeking days of glory. When the sun rises for me, I continually seek purgatory. If my body is my temple, yet I treat it like the walls of Jericho, it will be a matter of time before the network cancels my show. We take time for granted. Instead of walking straight, we are slanted. Get out the shadows, come forth towards the light. Be like blind Bartimaeus, and request back your sight. Spiritual gifts are given. Abuse them and they are taken away. Don't be proud to fall on your knees and pray. Like the Son of Man, I walk as the Son of Man. The devil is behind me and the Bible is my right hand. Salvation is yours. He died for your sins. So stop dancing in the shadows and allow your life to begin.
That was great, man. I love the rhythm of that one. Definitely.
Thanks. I was a little...
It's a real strong message there, babe.
You said a strong message. I get nervous. I want to be able to call in one day and just go straight through. But it's like I get nervous.
I understand what you're saying completely. I'm the same way, you know. It's almost, I think you almost have to almost forget that you're on the phone and just do it like you do it when you're just sitting there by yourself and it's just coming from you.
Yeah.
You're not reading it from the paper, you know what I mean?
All right. Maybe I need to take a drink one day.
No, I did that once at an open mic. It was horrific. Trust me. I just sat up there and giggled. No lie. Oh, honey, you did amazing. And if you stumble over a line, the trick is to keep going because nobody knows your poem. So nobody knows. So if you're sitting there reading and then you're reading and then you're reading, they don't know that you just said that three times because you're trying to find your place. They just think you're passionate about reading.
Okay.
Get it? Yeah, that was an incredible read. So unless you tell somebody you mess up, they never know.
Okay.
And that was amazing and you did wonderful.
Thank you, Gail.
You're welcome. Tell us how to find you.
You can catch me on MySpace, /so_much_pain, and you can catch me on Blog Talk Radio, 4:30 p.m. Sundays, Blog Talk Radio /The Hitman.
Wonderful, sweetheart. Thank you so much for calling in, and please do it again.
All right, thank you.
Yay, thank you. All right, I'm going to go get right through these calls, get everyone on the air. We've got, next we have 718. 718, you're on the air with Speakeasy Cafe.
How you doing, Natalie and Q?
Hey, you.
I'm okay. Is that me?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing good. How you guys doing tonight?
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
I just like to do something different tonight, like tell a little story, like in, you know, speaking in rhyme form, like that. It's called Rob.
Okay.
This one is called Rob. A dude named Rob who lived in the hood was a man whore, sexing any females he could. He didn't care. He made having sex his job. Nobody in the hood have more sex than Rob. 26, no job, still living in the crib, always owing people money, always getting in things. He never thought with his head, only thought with his. Give him a dollar for every chick he had, he'll probably be rich. He never used a condom. Someone should have taught him that using it will protect you from the monster. You give him some and he always lose him. Even when he had him, he still ain't use him. He had 6 kids with 6 different women. Don't really give a damn, spends no time with the children. He always says, yo, it ain't mine, yo. I don't like that chick. Forget it, she's a dumb hoe. One day he met a woman that would change his life. Nice butt, nice boobs, the face was right. He approached her, said, my name is Rob, nice to meet you. She looked at him, walked away like, I don't know you. He kept on being persistent. After a minute or two talking, found out that her name was Princess. They talked about clothes. Do you smoke or drink? He said, look at these lips. What the hell do you think? She came back to his crib with a bottle of the Henny, a couple of Dutches, two twisted L's, and had the blunts ready. Everything going the high rod planned it. Shorty was messed up. She was barely standing. He asked her, do you have condoms? She told him no. She said, I don't need them. I'm on birth control. Well, for Rob, that's all he needed to know. Next thing you know, he's in it raw. He's ready to go. Now, Rob thinking he the man. He got Shorty in the bed, saying that was an easy one-night stand. When he wakes up, Shorty not next to him. He's like, forget her. She could go with the rest of them. A couple of months later, feels a burning sensation. Calls up the doctor to make a couple arrangements. Couple of months later, find out the news, he's shaking. That dude, Rob, now he's become an HIV patient. That's it.
Wow. Talk about powerful pieces.
Yeah,
that's what I was talking about. What's that, honey?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was going to say, that's what I was talking about. You know, don't write about the easy things. That's a really hard subject to write about. And, you know, but it's a message that needs to get out there. And what better way than through your voice? I'm astounded. That was an incredible read.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But, well, you guys, anyone wants to contact me for more information on my book, a CD entitled Eyes of a Ghetto Man? You can contact me at www.myspace.com/AMEENABDULLAH. That's AMEENABDULLAH. And I thank you, Nyla and Q, for giving me the opportunity to continue to let me do some of my work on your show.
You're welcome on our stage anytime.
All right, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Wonderful. Okay, let's see who we have next. 402, you are on the air.
Hi, Nyla. Hi, Q. It's Poetic Mama Bear. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, hello, sweetheart.
How are you?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It has indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And
just been running around with those kids. They keep been keeping me busy on Thursday nights. I keep telling them Thursday nights are no good for me. They can't keep me busy on Thursdays. It's mommy's night. I've got a quick one for you guys.
Okay.
I wrote this yesterday after a quick little conversation I had with another MySpace person. And I don't know if you all know who Naked Nurse is, but she does a lot of erotic stuff. And this is not. let me rephrase that. This one is not. This is the first ending. But someone told me it could go somewhere else. So there is another portion of this that has changed. I've got both of them posted. One is under preferred only because I know some people don't like erotic, and I don't choose to force it on anyone who doesn't like it. So this is the
who doesn't like erotic.
Some people who do get offended out there, so I keep that to a preferred list, and anyone who wants to be on that list, all they have to do is give me their email address, and I will put them in that list, because I keep my page, try to keep it almost PG-13. This is the loving version.
Okay, Mama Bear.
Yeah, okay? This is the loving version. This is called As She Reads. As she reads to me. Back against the brick wall, warmed by the sun, surrounded by green grass growing, almost as therapeutic as the words she passed from her delicate lips. She reads like no other, words of Poe and Dickinson, Shakespeare and Frost. Some I do not know, some her own. She wooed me, and I allowed her words to enter me. Blonde silken hair swooped by her glistening eye, mine dark and mink-like, not unlike the wide openings of my eyes. Laying next to her, my head on her thigh, her fingertips brushing my cheek, upon a blanket to protect me from the dirt of this earth. She knows just what I need. Her illustrated voice soothes my every thought. With the turn of each journal page, I feel her penetrate my soul. With each uttered word, I fall more deeply in love. Mommy, will you read me one more? And that's the end. Well,
okay. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, well, if you take that last line off, and you think about the words, it changes the whole story. So, like I said, if you want to read the other one, all you have to do is send me your email address and I'll put you on the preferred list.
Well, make sure you put me on the preferred list.
Oh, yeah, okay, I will do that.
Thank you, baby. Tell everybody how to find you so we can do that.
MySpace.com/LoriGagg, and it's LoriGagg. No spaces, no nothing.
Thank you so much for sharing with us tonight, honey.
You guys have a great night.
And make sure you check out and get on we'll let you know about the Reverse show that's coming up. I want to make sure you get over there to that.
Oh,
I know you're gonna like that.
Now,
so,
you guys, what day is that? Is that a specific day or?
That's this Sunday.
And Sunday. Okay.
Yeah. And we'll make sure that we get the information to you. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Because I was
wonderful.
I've been searching all my little googly things that I can search to find the next right poem. So.
Wonderful. All right, sweetheart. I will talk to you in a while. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, honey. Okay. Now we have got 540. 540, you're on the air.
Yeah, peace and blessings. Peace and blessings. It's the brother Ishu.
Well, hello, you.
How are you?
I'm doing good. So, you going to read to us tonight?
Yeah. I'm going to do this piece. I'm picking on Son of Man and Sankara. I'm picking on the Hitman, so I'm giving this for them real quick. I'm going to tease them.
Okay.
I was in the chat room, and I told him I have nothing hot to share tonight, but I told him I'd come up with something. Oh, boy. Here we go. A beast called slavery. A beast called slavery. Eyes jaded from habitual greed. 9 hitted sapphire Medusa. Lungs filled with the atmospheres of hell. Dutch demonic brain, child sainting soul. Spain gone wild. Slavery. Feeding from the plates of sin, its fork is shame, its spoon is misery. Knife quotes the devil's doctrine. God created Africans to be slaves. God created Africans to be slaves. So it says via King James Christianity, Shakespeare, Psalms, insanity. The lords of London, loquacious eyes, lust, the marketable, melanated, banty, bush, pygmy, pig. Slavery screams, spay the captured dog. Slavery yells, hang the nigger high. Slavery wells, roast the coon. Slavery giggles, snatch the bird from heaven and drag him for 3 long miles. Slavery lays back, tail teasing testicles, praising his perverted patriotic penis, pinched out hatred smiles while Yoruba queens are birthing hybrids from the forced rape, mulatto madness, African incision, madman mutilate matriarchy system, Nubian sodomy rise the wings of patriarchy rhythms as lips spill milk, indulge in Nana Earth's reserves while Tuzi tongues crawl up in a dark corner crying from hunger, dying from suffer. Slavery whispers, I'll steal your little bag of roots. Slavery teases, I'll mislead your daughters from the truth of their ancestral roots. From pyramids to plantations, breeding human chattel, herding African cattle and Asian cattle and European cattle. Because don't forget that some Europeans that was over here was also indentured servants and slaves. Slavery taunts, poor little souls, what would you do without a mother? Babes born in teardrops, red blood eyes, whip the field, nigga. Blue blood hands, rape the house, nigga. Penetration, my sister virgin love with erections of lust, ejaculations of demons and germs in my sister wombs of creation with 39 articles, teased with tender mercy, servant share, slanging match, monk's master. Slavery drinks absolute obedience, demon of drudgery, face of Queen Elizabeth, Nazi Napoleon complex, 13-headed wig-wearing eagle, Harriet Jacobs burden. This is the incidents in the life of a slave girl is a beast called slavery.
You have got one of the most incredibly powerful voices. You start out sounding like melting velvet, first of all, and then you read like that, and it's like, damn.
No, that's a poetry scene. stage thing.
Well, that was a great read, hon.
And it's also done with children all the time also, making them listen.
What's that?
Also dealing with children also all the time, making them listen.
Tell everybody how they can find you.
Of course, myspace.com/Suhuyika, SUHUYKHA.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
And I caught some of your show last week. It was great stuff, too. I like that.
I was
hoping to get a chance to call in, but I got to.
Well, hopefully you can call in Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to be. What time is it on again?
8 to 10.
8 to 10. All right. I will be there.
What's the URL for your show, hon?
I'm blogtalkradio.com/Suhuyika, also SUHUYKHA.
Wonderful. Make sure you shoot me an email because my ADD gets the best of me sometimes and remind me.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for reading to us tonight.
No problem. Peace and blessings.
Goodbye, poet. Wow. Okay. Let's see who we have next. 219, you're on the air.
Hey, Nylan Q, how you guys doing? It's the Anointed Poet.
Hey.
Yes, it is.
How are you, man?
What's going on?
Hello, Robert.
Sorry, I've been away. I've been really busy.
Oh, I know. I've been kind of keeping up with your schedule. You've been just insane busy doing shows.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
I tried to catch you 1 week. I think it was a week before last, last week. But I didn't call in time, so I ended up missing it. But it's been great. It's been great. Going to Seattle tomorrow. We're really excited about that. We're going to be at the WAG Fest.
Really?
With self-published authors, artists, musicians, you know. It's just going to be like a huge networking event. So we're going to be at the Flavor Coffee House.
Is there a website on that people can check out?
You know what, if you go to, I think they're on my top friend list. On my MySpace page, myspace.com/anointedpoet. If you go there and look, because I don't know their exact website, but I know it's like Carrie E. Wagner is one guy. And then there's Lady Flavor of Lady Flavor Coffee House in Seattle. And then there is Shani Books, SHANIBOOKS. So I know between those three people, you'll hook up with the WAGFest. And I think WAGFest has their own MySpace page. Just type in. Do a search on WAGFEST. I'm not on
Wonderful.
That right now. But, yeah, very excited about that, so we're really looking forward to it.
What do you have for us tonight, dear?
Tonight, I'm going to do a new piece. It's called Life. Okay, all right, I'm going to go ahead. This is called Speak Life. Things trouble us every day. Why? Because in God's word, we heard Jesus say, trouble comes for the sake of the word. No matter what, the latter is true. But what do we do when because of this and that we're blue? Speak life to that dead situation. Why? Because that's the weapon God gave us to conquer every condition. When we speak life, we say what is in spite of what we see. When we speak life, we give God permission to destroy any devil trying to steal our liberty. When we speak life, we say, Lord, I believe you are not the devil's reality, and we will watch it come to pass so we can breathe more easily. So let's try it now. When your child's grades aren't where they should be, what do you do? Speak life. When your man's eyes are on that other woman, what do? Speak life. When your mother's doctor said she'll be dead 6 months from now, what do? Speak life. When your pediatrician says that your two-year-old won't see three, what do? Speak life. When you aren't qualified for that promotion, but you could use the money anyway, what do? Speak life. When your daughter won't leave that abusive boyfriend, what do? Speak life. You see, whatever comes up in your life, know it's for one reason, and one reason only, to take you out of your prosperous season, to cause your warm home to start freezing, to cause an honest person to be charged with treason. So get angry at the devil, not God. And speak life over what you don't see. And I promise you, if you believe by faith, what you will say will come to pass. and then it is what you will see. That's that piece.
What you say will come to pass. Do you know how true that is?
Yeah, well, it is. It's very true. I have lived it. So I know.
Yeah. That's why I say, you know, poets are so powerful, because the power of the spoken word, you know, what you say, you speak into existence, and that, you know, that's just the way the brain works. You know, it's not just God's law or anything else. That's just the way it is. If you say it, it's true. Every time you say it, it becomes more true. So,
right.
You know, you, yeah. That was an amazing piece. Everybody, if you want to check out when Robert was, the Anointed Poet, was our guest on the show, it was February 28th, if you want to check back in the archives, and he gives some information about his book and stuff, so be sure to check that out. And Robert, you want to give us your MySpace page real quick?
Yeah, sure. MySpace.com/AnointedPoet. MySpace.com/TheAnointedPoet is my artist page. And, you know, hit me up, send me a friend request. Because we got some new stuff coming up. You know, the new book is coming out very soon, within the next couple of weeks. Words of Inspiration, Speak Healing. So we're very excited about that and looking forward to some big things happening.
Well, we're very excited about you and you sharing with us. So I just want to say thank you and let you know that we appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. And I just want to say before I go, I'm waiting for my man Apollo. I've been waiting on this
I'm
one.
I'm so excited. And you guys got a special relationship going, yeah.
Yeah, we do, yeah. It's, you know, he is a really great guy, he really is.
I love him, so. Okay, we will talk to you in a bit. Thank you, sweetheart.
All righty, then. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, let's get to the next caller. Oh, Robert's awesome. Okay, we have 415. 415, you're on the air.
Hi, this is J. Everett Winburn from San Francisco.
Yes, hey. It is. Hello, James.
Hi, it's great to listen to your show once again.
Oh, I'm excited that you're here. You I just got the email from you today, or the message from you today, saying that you're going to be our guest on April 17th, and we get to pick your brain and share and have fun. So I'm excited about that,
yeah.
Having you on our show as a guest.
I'm really looking forward to that.
All right, yeah, that's news to me, so I'm done.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, I thought I'd read this time around something a little bit more on the serious side. And if you like, I'll begin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's called At Play with the Kittens of Bedlam, the radio version. Pa stepping carefully over a petal of ivy. What runs beneath the green and purple coverage? Come on, little kitty. Step forward and take a look. Curiosity is harmless. That's it. One more step. Zing! Behind your tail, what's that? This I see outside my window, a window that my mother closes before going to work, and my brothers are outside, reckless as ever, shooting at anything that moves. A sickly child was I in my youth. As I remember it, often would I have to be coaxed by tender words to rise from my bed and get a little exercise, for the sickness was mostly in my head, they said. But it wouldn't take long for my younger brothers to remove me from my bedridden state, teasing me and ganging up on me, but I, thinking of them, the absolute root to my headache and the remedy to all things in a house such as ours was to turn on the television and dream of a place that folds the present into oblivion. A frosty, glittery luminary, starlights and heavenly breezes, delicately formed and streaming, thin and slightly dazed, but soliciting a literary sense of dabbling in the unmanicured bedlam of the self-consuming under the pretense of one's buried perception. And I remember being left alone with my brothers in the summer when my single mother was away working some clerical job and hoping that the three of us at home would behave. This was an impossibility in Southern California suburban affairs. We built a fort in the backyard, hammering the boards with rusted nails until the wood would split and we would all come tumbling down, laughter and bruises and scrapes and all. We rode our bicycles on the front lawns, through neighbors' gardens, and when bored with that, we rode them underwater inside the pool. With slingshots and apricot seeds, we fired make-believe missiles into the ivy where all eight of our cats fought each other over the zinging bombardments, sometimes getting it in the tail. Pa stepping carefully over a petal of ivy. what runs beneath the green and purple coverage. Come on, little kitty, step forward and take a look. Curiosity is harmless. That's it. One more step. Zing! Behind your tail. What's that? You backflip into the air, pouncing under the soft cushion of green and purple bedding, looking so perplexed, unsure of what it is you're hunting, or if it is hunting you. But too late. Now your curiosity has company, as your brother and sister kitties come to investigate. And I remember my two brothers hiding from my mother as she would pull up to the house in the Ford Pinto. We hid under the beds, in the closets, and sometimes in the fold-out couch, but we would usually start hitting and tussling with each other, crowding the other's hiding place, and our mother would hear the commotion and find us right away. The look of grief on her face, seeing us hiding from her, was enough to announce that some damage had been done somewhere around the house or backyard, and the first thing she would do was count the cats, just to make sure we hadn't crucified one of them. And what must have gone through our dear mother's mind, but our cats trekking and trampling through the unmanicured bedlam of the backyard, a frosty, glittery luminary, paw stepping carefully over a petal of ivy. Come on, little kitty, step forward and take a look. Starlights and heavenly breezes, delicately formed and streaming. That's it. One more step, and behind your tail, what's that? You backflip into the air, thin and slightly dazed, looking so perplexed, unsure of what it is you're hunting, in the unmanicured bedlam of the self-consuming, under the pretense of one's buried perception, and far too removed to trace with serious intent. But too late. Now your curiosity has company. Thank you. Mischievous little brats we were.
There were times I would come home and find my kids just like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I know how.
Oh, that was great.
Well,
give us your URL, hon.
Okay. I'm at wordartsalon.com and more popularly on MySpace at myspace.com/wordartsalon.
Wonderful. All right. Shoot me an email, and we'll get the details on your appearance worked out. And
great.
That was awesome, sweetheart.
Great. Well, I look forward to performing again for you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, son.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I love that. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Always a treat.
And let's go ahead and take the next caller, and then we've got Apollo coming up. We got some announcements to make real quick. Let's go ahead and get this call in. 843, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 Hi. Can you hear
Hello,
me?
Hello, how are you? I hope we can
I'm
hear you.
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
This is Naomi.
Well, hello.
Hi. I'm calling in to do a piece tonight. I'm finally here, my first night.
I'm so excited that you called in, honey.
But the piece that I want to do tonight is titled Bag Lady. And it goes like this. They call me Bag Lady because I carry my past triumphs in a bag. And I reflect back in time when my boyfriend says a line that reminds me of Ben. When that same line was used to hurt me, when that same line was said to cover a lie and spare my heart, it just paralyzed it. They call me Bag Lady because I guard my heart with shields of protection, often not showing my affection, not being able to open my heart to let another in, all because of my past male friends. Because they say my heart is often cold and I sometimes shut down communication. It's not because I don't know what to say. It's just to avoid an altercation. They call me Bag Lady because I sometimes break down in tears for no reasons. Like I said before, my emotions are screwed like the seasons and my heart stays bleeding because I'm constantly repeating the same shit in each and every relationship. I can't help but carry a chip on my shoulder. They call me Bag Lady because I'm often questioning the motives as to why something took place. Often feel like the littlest thing is a sign I may be replaced, and I try to erase the feelings from my past that caused me to feel this way. But in order to successfully, I have to release these bags. But it's hard to release these bags when I'm constantly accumulating more. Sometimes not only my shoulders, but my heart gets sore. I don't carry these bags because I want to. I carry these bags because I have no choice to. These are my protection, a reflection of my past. It reminds me never to make that same mistake or believe that same lie. They help me to recognize the signs that keep my heart from rewinding and paralyzing itself again to the point where I hate all men. If going in my heart from the pain and loving myself enough to protect myself is bad, then until someone else can show me differently, I will forever be the lady with the bags.
Wow.
Now, I wrote a piece one time about a homeless person, and it was talking about it's not the bags that you see him carrying, it's the bags that you can't see that affect him the most and the ones that you should be the most aware of. And everybody has them. You know, you interact with people, and you never know, everybody, you never know what baggage they're carrying or what things are holding dear and near to them, and you just don't know, you know. So you always got to you have to treat people kindly and be aware of that. And that was a beautiful, beautiful piece of poetry, honey.
Thank you. It's like everybody say bags is bad, but not all bags are bad, because my bags remind me of the things that I've been through to teach me to watch for those signs and not to make those same mistakes.
Exactly. And you know what? I wouldn't set any of mine down either, because they all brought me to where I'm sitting right now at this exact moment. And if one of them had not happened, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So, you know, I'm thankful for everything I've been through. Exactly. Tell us how to find you, babe.
I have 5 MySpace pages. I'm going to give my main page, which is which is myspace.com/DYC Entertainment. So it's Dice, DYC Entertainment, and that's my main page. And I also have a Reverb Nation page, which is / They Know Me, which is my name, DayNomi, Diamond, DyMond. And those are 2 main pages.
Right. Thank you so, so much for calling in, sweetheart. And please do again. I would love to hear some more of your work.
Thank you.
Yay. You're welcome, honey. Wow. Okay, we are going to take one more call and then do the announcements queue if you'd like to. And then we have our guest on hold. So let's go ahead and get this last caller in. 402, you're on the air.
This is Gabby from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey.
Oh, honey, how are you?
I'm good. I have this piece called Revolution.
Okay.
They say this revolution will not be televised. But why? Because folks aren't prepared to hear the truth. They just want to continue to do what they do. Look, this is a revolution. Red, black, and green African flags created by Malcolm Garvey, who they sold for rice. Put the flags in the air like you just don't care. The revolution is here. One more will on the call of social change. Just think about what we can gain from this experience. This revolution will not be televised because folks aren't prepared to hear the truth. We are the truth for this revolution. We the people are visionaries and revolutionaries and informing people. It's time to open your eyes and pick up the piece of justice that was locked in a box and was screaming by politicians and cops. Stop. It's like Pleasantville. It's so used to black and white, so you're surprised by color. We don't throw no sign, but the black power fist. We flash and salute to our brothers and sisters that understand we are a unity and that this revolution needs to be televised. We the folks are ready to hear the truth. In later years, they change faces, places, and maybe races. Will it ever be stopped when it starts? It's a market. It's a market for change. The name can never be replaced. REVOLUTION, revolution. That's that piece.
My goodness.
Yeah, I just love the way you write and your attitude, and I'm just a huge fan of yours.
I think that we all are.
Mm. Mm.
Tell us how to find you, sweetheart.
MySpace.com/guysgift2poetry, and also check out my spoken word crew, The Movement, MySpace.com/themovementofspokenword.
You've got an incredible voice, and you're an incredible poet, and I cannot thank you enough for calling in and sharing that with us.
Thanks.
That was wonderful.
That was. I love her her style and the way she reads, and the content was tremendous, especially for someone so young.
Oh, exactly. Okay, so are you ready to do the announcements, dear?
Sure. Well, we can start off with Reverse, which is this Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern, and it is a classic poetry open mic show put on to Speakeasy Cafe, and that is with Deborah Kelly and myself. And Debbie's also known as Debbie Philly for you guys in chat who don't know. She is my co-host there. And like I said, it's at 4 o'clock. And this week we have kind of a special edition. We celebrate National Women's Month with honoring the women of poetry. At least that's for Debbie and I. You guys can call in with whatever you like to want to read, male or female. She and I are going to concentrate on a couple of specific women that we have found, and we're going to have a lot of fun, as always. And you can actually find me also after that at 8 o'clock Eastern on Arts Inside Radio at Sunday Spotlight, and that is at 8 o'clock, and I am joined by Saints and Jason and Rain, and that URL is blogtalkradio.com/air, A-I-R, and the one for Reverse, which I missed, is blogtalkradio.com/RE-VERSE, and hopefully we'll see a lot of the same people there.
I'm really excited about the Reverse show. That is, it was phenomenal. Your debut show was incredible, and we got to talk about Elizabeth Browning and read some poets, and it was just fun. You know, so if you guys haven't done that before, they always say that, you know, if you're a poet, one of the things that you have to do to become a better poet is to read, and I know that sometimes that's not always fun for us because we're writers, not readers, most of us, as a general rule. So getting involved in something like Q and Debbie's show where you are reading classic poetry and things like that, it gets you kind of deviling into you know, into some writing and reading, and it's just a blast. You're going to love it. So make sure that you go over and check that show out on Sunday. Next week, our guest on the Speakeasy Cafe is eBaby, and he is absolutely incredible. If you want to check out his page, it is eBaby Poetry on MySpace, and you guys are really, really going to enjoy him. I want to thank real quick all of the poets who called in tonight. You guys were incredible. And again, I am absolutely amazed at the variety of poets that we have on this show. And I just want to tell you how much it means to me, you know, all of you calling in and reading and sharing with each other, you know, from, you know, the ones first-time readers who come on and like me, every time I get up to a mic, I feel like I want to throw up on my shoes, to the, you know, the ones who've been out there doing it for years. You know, we all inspire and learn from each other, and I just am humbled by who reads here, and I just want to tell you that I appreciate you all. Y'all. I didn't just say y'all, did I? Oh, holy shit. if you didn't get a chance to get on the air tonight, make sure that you call in next week, because your voice is important, and we really want to hear what you have to share. Now, we have coming up next Apollo, and as I said before, I've just been ecstatic waiting for this interview. I've had a chance over the last couple of months to get to know him a little bit and his poetry, and I just, his poetry is astounding to me. I get goosebumps every time that I, every single time that I hear it, and I'm really excited to bring him and share him with you guys. So, but I'm going to start out this segment, if it's okay, with a piece of his called I'll Live for You, and it's one of my favorites by him. So we're going to start that, and then I will bring him on the air. So here we go. This is I'll Live for You by Apollo.
I'll
think about it. Your history. Your childhood. The dreams that once lingered onto the cave walls of your thoughts. The blind bats that flew away using nothing but sound and feel. The ones that never made it back. The ones that were forgotten. I live for you. For the child that died inside all of us. The tears that were cried inside all of us. The drops that landed on our lips as if to remind us what it tastes like to feel pain. To quench our inner hungers that have been yearning to feel something. Anything. I live for you. For all of those who haven't learned that regret doesn't make any logical sense. For the wings that soared without realizing their butterfly effect served a purpose that's too complicated to ever be understood. But we have faith in it. I live for you. For the writer who put down the pen and never wrote again. For all of them who kept their thoughts as prisoners to their hearts. I love for you. For the women who are raising their children and having to be both heads of the household. When you're out cold, I'll live for you. For that person in your family that you never had a chance to say goodbye to. But you know that when you pray, their memories vibrate inside you. When you need somebody to cry to, I'll live for you. For that old man who waited his whole life to tell a woman that he loved her. And when he finally got to, it was at her tombstone. Rusty, I live for you. For the ignorant, power-hungry people who have yet to realize that money is just one form of energy. But love is all forms of energy. I live for you. A beautiful mind is an ugly thing to waste, and an ugly mind is a beautiful thing to replace. So let yourself go, and don't tell yourself that you're letting yourself go. Just let yourself go. Like you don't have any control of having control. Hold on to the hope that music will go back to its roots, and stop using the mainstream as an excuse. Every time you grab the microphone, you speak for all the silenced voices. The millions in the Armenian genocide, the Jewish genocide, the African genocide. For all the children in Darfur, I live for you. And if each one of my poems could turn into a star, I would write until the sky is filled with enough light to guide you towards the sun. I'll shine for you. For the people who are paralyzed physically, for the people who are paralyzed emotionally, when you stop giving a damn about everything in this world, I'll care for you. For the people who have lost all hope and inspiration, having a one-way conversation with a God who's never returned their phone calls, I'll pray for you. Knowing that everything happens for a reason that takes more than one lifetime to understand. So as I grab your hand and pull you off the bridge that you spent your entire life creating, I'll write for you. And if each breath I don't take is a breath that could have been used to create, I'll die for you. And once you learn to appreciate your life and make the best out of what you have, I'll no longer have to live for somebody who's living for themselves.
Hello, Apollo. How are you?
Hello, beautiful. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Do you know how excited I am that you're here?
Yes, this has been kind of a long time in the making. I'm so glad that the day has finally come.
You know, what's really funny is I was looking at your page today, going through and, you know, finding some stuff to ask you and things like that. And I looked down at your friends list and was like, holy shit, 2 million friends? You're quick at answering emails.
Yeah. Well, I have, like, numerous different MySpaces.
I looked at that, and I was thinking, what must your inbox look like? That was amazing.
Yes, it's well-controlled. How's everyone in the chat room? I know I can't hear you. If I could start off the show real quick, if everybody in the chat room can just type in the word love and hit enter, that would be fantastic so we can start it off with a loving vibe. I'd really appreciate that. Thank you. And just sending my peace and blessing. Shout out to everybody who's been supportive of the show and of poetry in general.
See, that's why I love you. You're just an amazing person. You know, you are all the success and everything that you've had in the spoken word venues and everything like that. I mean, and I've got your bio thingy here, you know, and I'm going to rattle some of this off real quick. And, you know, I know that might embarrass you, but that's, you know, my prerogative. So You know, some of the things that you've done, you were 2006 Most Voted Music Artist on MTV2.com with over 325,000 votes. You've been featured on MTV's True Life, featured in Vibe magazine. You were Source's Unsigned Hype Champion. You performed on Showtime at Apollo. And you performed in at Madison Square Garden for the New York Knicks. Holy shit. I mean, you've done so much. Tell me what it's been like to have that kind of success.
Well, it's been an absolute journey. And, you know, as far as, like, doing something and then getting something in return, it's definitely paid off for all the work that I've done. But, at the same time, it's kind of funny that that's kind of impressive as far as a materialistic resume goes. But through all those successes, the one thing that I learned is that that I don't use those things that I've done. I don't use those to measure my success anymore. So even though it's fantastic and it's a great experience, it's kind of the one thing that comes out of it the most is that it kind of catapulted me to the next level where I could be heard and I can kind of spread a message to a critical mass. And one of my goals is to try to combine the mainstream and the underground consciousness communities, because my goal eventually is for the mainstream to be the conscious, spiritual, poetic community. And I'm kind of trying to serve as a bridge between both.
You, I read that you said that you were on top of the world in the music industry and all of that, and you got knocked down and you took a year off, and that was kind of for self-healing and stuff. Where do you see yourself going now? What do you want to do?
Well, now that I feel like I'm on a higher path now, on a more spiritual path, so I'm planning on using the exact same hustle that got me to the top of the music industry beforehand, but now I have a better message to deliver, and it's coming from a more pure place. So I feel that, you know, once I get back up there again, hopefully the butterfly effect will be a lot greater than it was last time.
You're absolutely incredible and amazing. And your poetry is there's just a raw realness in it. Seriously, when I listen to your poetry, I get goosebumps just because it, and this is the truth. I called my son up here tonight and I had him listen to Rusty, which you're going to be performing for us live tonight. But I had him listen to that and he got tears in his eyes. I mean, it's just incredibly powerful message that you share. And, you know, you talk about you don't measure your success by the things that you've done, this list, you know, of amazing accomplishments of yours. And I understand that because I know that for you, too, that it's, you know, more for you to be able to look at all the people that you've been able to reach and touch and share with, you know, than being able to hold a title or to say, I've done this or I've done that, you know, just the volume of people that you've been able to touch with your message is incredible.
Thank you so much, and I'm very grateful for all the opportunities that I've had. And, you know, like, just even me just being on this show is just up there with all those accomplishments. And that's kind of the approach that I've had in everything I've done, is that it doesn't really matter to me if there's, like, one person listening or a million people or whoever, you know, whatever the amount was on MTV. I give the same energy and the same performance because I know that one person could end up meaning, it could not only mean so much to them, but what they end up doing out after they hear the poetry, if they change their mentality, if they start doing the spiritual path more, or whatever they do, if they just do a random act of kindness and they were inspired by it, then that means more to me than anything else. So each individual is almost kind of like a potential to turn into something amazing. And once people realize that the butterfly effect of everything we do, the ripple effect is way beyond what we can comprehend, but it's there, and we have to have faith in it that it's there. And you know, my poetry and your poetry and everybody's poetry who's listening, we're, you know, nobody's like good, bad. There is no judging of poetry. We're all reflections of each other, and we're all extensions of each other. So when I speak through you. When you speak through me. It's all connected. And once we all realize that, then we'll all get to vibrate on a higher level.
I am so glad that you said that because I agree with that exactly. You know, you've been doing what you've been doing for a long time, and so you've been able to have some more experience behind you. And I tell people all the time never to be afraid of your voice, because the only difference between someone who, how long have you been doing this? Spoken word?
I started when I was 10, so about 14, 15 years.
Okay, so the only difference between you and someone who's just starting out is that 14 or 15 years, you know, or, you know, someone else who's been doing, been on the circuit, you know, the only difference between a brand new person and someone else is the time they've been doing it. So wherever they're at right now, they need to focus on what they can do and where they can be. And so it doesn't matter, you know, well, this person's famous, or, you know, and I'm a brand new writer. Everybody has a voice and everybody has to be heard. And I absolutely love that you said that.
Absolutely, I'm with you on that. And I hope everybody goes out there with that mentality, and just every time you write, every time you speak, just, you know, keep in mind, like, let's say that there was a poet 14 years ago who I saw live, and I don't recall their name or anything, and they might have ended up not doing anything. They might have just performed that one time, and they have no idea that they're connected through me. And now all the things that I've done in the 14 years might have been an inspiration, you know, straight because of the performance that I saw from them, and they have no conscious concept, you know, they have no idea that I was inspired by them. And yet what they did, their choice to go out there and speak influenced me to do what I do, and now all of a sudden I'm influencing others. So that's kind of how it works. So everybody who goes out there and speaks, just make sure, speak with your heart and be conscious of everything that you're saying, because it really does have an effect on the world, even if we don't see it.
Exactly. I say that all the time. You know, you can get out there and you can change the world, or you can change the world for one person. And which do you measure is more important?
Exactly. And if you change the world for one person, you actually are changing the world.
Exactly, because you don't know what that is. The ripple effect.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So with that, if you are ready, I would really, really love to have you read Rusty for us. That's the one you wanted to read tonight, correct?
Yeah, I was going to do a love piece, but if we want to do Rusty instead, it's your, you know, you tell me what you're...
No, baby, you know what, you read anything you want to read. I would absolutely, I don't think I've heard you do a love piece before.
Okay, fantastic. I'm just inspired to do this piece dedicating to my girlfriend and soulmate, Jazz. And she's kind of going through something this week, so I'm kind of inspired to read this for her. So this is called Serendipity. Looking back, I was so young and naive, thinking that I knew what love was before I even felt it, chasing Hollywood dreams of romantic nights. But now I know that serendipity is fate's beautiful way of reminding us who's in control, and that each one of us has a plan that we're not meant to understand, because if we already did, we wouldn't appreciate the lesson as much. I gave my love to too many people because that was my attempt to get their love back. I never thought I'd let somebody penetrate my mentality. Too many tried to force theirs onto me, so I used to just block it out, transcend above it, or completely ignore it. But the most beautiful emotion in this world is love. Love for what you do, love for who you are, love for other people, love for yourself. Because without it, we're just creatures roaming on a planet without purpose. It's like blind eyes describing a painting that was created in the mind. I never believed in fairy tales, and I never believed in stories with happy endings. And that's because I never believed in endings. I believed that I was with you in many lifetimes before. I was your friend, I was your brother, I was your enemy, I was your lover, I was your lesson, I was your life, and now you're simply returning the light. You can't define who we are, you can't define what we are, but poetry is the closest I can come to describing you. Your warm hands can heal the coldest heart, your beautiful eyes is just a glimpse in comparison to your beautiful soul. I don't feel the need to hold on or to let go. With you, I simply exist. And when we both leave this world, our souls will dance together, celebrating their union in a beautiful bliss of energy, vibrating at the highest frequency, filling each other's gaps in a spiritual union. I'll remember you before I forget you. So I loved you before I met you. And that's what makes us special. We are eternity.
We don't kiss each other's lips. We connect each other's souls. We don't hold hands. We align our palms, lifelines. We don't make love. We are love. And I can't say the quote that I'm a lover, not a fighter, because I would fight for love. You inspire me to become everything that I always knew I could be. You're a mirror that only reflects back light. My river leads to your ocean of love. You make me believe that I can fly. You are my Atlantis. You are my Orion. We were together in Rome. We'll be together in Zion. Together we built the pyramids. Our love put together Stonehenge. The circle of love has no end. I don't have to worry about our human memory because our souls are tattooed with each other's energy. I wouldn't die for you. I'll do something that's much harder. I'll live for you. But just like the poem goes, no need to do that once you realize what you are. And what you are is a child of God, a strong, beautiful queen who doesn't become a product of her environment, but her environment becomes a product of the light that shines through her. I can't even tell you that I love you, because those words are disrespectful compared to how I feel about you. But like I said, poetry is the closest I can come to describing you.
Okay, you know that put me in tears, right?
I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
That was so beautiful. That was so amazing. We don't make love, we love. That's probably one of the most beautiful love poems I've ever heard in my life. And there's so many places in there that I understood so completely. That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing.
Now you gave me the...
Seriously, I got those little silly girly tears.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that it resonated with you, and that means so much to me. Thank you.
Oh yeah, that was incredible, and I think the girls in the chat, you should see the, well, you can see the chat room is going nuts.
I'm actually not in the chat room. I'm sitting on a lake right now.
Are you? Oh, that's awesome.
I'm in a peaceful state right now for the interview.
Oh, good. Do you have that piece recorded yet?
If you go to myspace.com/ApolloPoetry, you can listen in.
That was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. I actually read part of that because that's on one of your pages, but to hear you read it and the passion that you put into it is something else. And that's true with everything that you write. Just the incredible passion. When you read it, you can tell that what you say, your conviction is behind it, your soul's behind it, your heart's behind it. You live and breathe, and you know your words are just nailed down with everything that you are. You don't write just to write. Everything that you write is full of your passion, and that's why it touches people the way it does.
Yeah, when I actually read, I sometimes close my eyes, and like for that piece, I wasn't feeling the phone in my hand. I wasn't seeing the lake. I just saw her face while I was reading it. And the same thing happens like when I read Rusty. And sometimes I can't perform like on a certain day, because when I perform, I something channels through me. And once people start doing poetry more and you get more into performance, you'll get to the point where the universal energy is just channeling right through you, and you're kind of just a medium. And, it becomes a beautiful thing. Like my every cell right now, my body's starting to vibrate while I'm reading, and it makes me feel like alive, and it makes me feel like my poetry and everything, it really resonates with me on a spiritual level. So that's where that comes from.
I understand that feeling, that I get that way. There's pieces that I read that are like that too. You said that you started performing when you were 10, and I want to get back to that if we could real quick. 10. Tell me about 10.
I started writing when I was 10. It took me years before I got on the mic. I mean, you know, maybe four years, and then I started performing, and then I got really serious at 16. So, you know, it's a gradual step, and, you know, you go at your own pace, but just know that there's a whole community of people supporting you.
What got you to start performing? What happened? What was that defining moment that made you decide to step up to a mic?
Well, first I realized that when you write poetry, it resonates with people on a certain level. Like, you know, they get to read it, and they interpret it in their brains how they want to. And then I heard that when, you know, and then I learned that once you speak poetry, they can hear it in your voice, where you're coming from and what you're trying to
trying to put out there. So, like, right now you guys are listening to me. And then the next step above that is when you actually perform poetry. I just quickly learned that the energy is right there. It's right direct in your face. They get to see your facial expressions, your energy, your delivery, and they feel that energy on a gut level. And that's why just performance poetry is just on a whole nother level to me. It's all three things combined in one, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
You have no need to be shy. Like, everyone who's shy to grab the mic, like there is no need to be shy. You are, like, that person who's sitting there. I mean, I've been booed before, you know. I got booed on Showtime at Apollo, actually. I don't feel as because I got booed the second that they heard I was going to do poetry, and after the first sentence, if I got, like, halfway or towards the end, I probably would have been hurt. But, you know, they just weren't in the mood for poetry that night. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you're in situations where that happens, and it has, you know, you just keep going on. Like, why should you let a bunch of people who didn't want to listen to your poetry affect the hundreds of people whose lives are going to change in the future because of your poetry? So, you know, you never let the negative block out the positive.
Let me ask you this, because this is my Barbara Walters question, and I want to make sure that I don't forget it. And I think that, yeah, I'm really excited to hear your answer on this one. And this is kind of like my standard question now that I ask everybody. And that is, when all is said and done, and you take your last breath, how do you want to be remembered? What message do you want to be remembered for? What do you want the world to remember about you? What do you want to leave with us?
Well, it's actually hard for me to answer that question because I don't believe that I will take my last breath, and I don't think that any of us actually do. On the physical form...
Okay, well, this time around.
Excuse me?
I said, on this time around, then.
Oh, okay, on this time around. Just love and gratitude. I actually want, like... I want, in the next lifetime, I want to read about what I did in this lifetime. So I just kind of want, you know, that butterfly effect to go out there into the universe and affect people and just, you know, love and gratitude. If you have those two things and every decision you make, every answer you make, if you do it with love and gratitude in your mind and in your heart and in your soul, then no matter what happens, you're detached from the results because you know you're coming from a pure place. So just, you know, for everyone to know that I lived with passion and I am so content at 24 years old. I mean, I am totally content with my life and everything that I've done. And you know, I don't believe I'm going to pass on, you know, in this time around. I just think that I'm living, like right now, my voice entering your eardrums is a piece of my soul entering your soul. So even when I go, I'm living through all of you and all of, you know, the effects, and anyone who's inspired by anything I've done, I'm living through them. And we just got to keep that positive energy and vibe continuously growing to the highest magnitude.
I believe that anyone who comes in contact with you, their life will be changed for the better. I know that I'm going to be a better person and a better poet, and I know that things that I've learned from you and heard from you and just with my interactions with you are going to make me a better person. And, you know, you're just an incredible man, and your message is amazing, and I agree with that 100%.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, honey.
Oh, I said I'm so appreciative of you and the form you've created.
Oh, well, thank you. What advice do you have for young writers? What types of things? I mean, you have had some amazing success, and there's people listening who are doing what you're doing, and then there's people who are listening who, you know, are desperately reaching for a star, you know, their dreams, you know, and you've kind of been up there. You've been up there with them. So what could you tell people, these people who are, you know, reaching for those dreams? What can you tell them to help them?
Well, there's this quote that from Aesop Rock that really hits me. I'm going to try to remember it, and I'm sorry if I messed up, but it goes, look, I've never had a dream in my life because a dream is something you wanted to do and still haven't pursued. I pursued what I wanted, and I did it till it was done, so I've been the dream that I've wanted to be since day one. And if you really dissect what they're saying is that your dream It's not a destination. It's the journey of going out there, living in the moment, and truly experiencing what you want to be. There is no end goal. This entire journey is your destination. This is what you're supposed to be doing, and you're supposed to be getting the lessons out of it. And you're exactly where you're supposed to be, and you're perfect exactly the way you are. And truly know that the person you are right now, flaws or whatever, as a writer or anything, there is no end goal. You're always continuously growing. So just never stop writing. Poetry serves two purposes. One is, you know, for self-therapy. Sometimes you have to write things out and verbalize them to yourself. And then the second thing is to kind of put it out there and create that ripple effect that we've been talking about. So always keep those two things in mind and just keep writing. We waste so much time doing things that really don't affect the world and don't affect ourselves, and they're completely destructive to our souls. And why aren't we spending enough time doing stuff that are constructive to ourselves? And poetry is one of those things that is just totally beautiful in every aspect. So just absolutely keep writing, and anytime you need anyone to talk to, feel free to hit me up, hit anybody up. There's such a huge community. Just because it's not totally mainstream yet, it's going to be. I mean, we got Deaf Poetry Jam and stuff, but just, you know, go out there, be active, get involved, and you'll be amazed at what comes back to you.
There was a quote that I read on your page, and I don't know if it's yours or not. It said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Did you like that?
Oh, absolutely not. that's a really popular quote that's kind of out there, and I believe it originated from Nelson Mandela in Africa. I'm pretty sure that's where it came from, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's where it's from. And that entire quote is just so beautiful to me, and
that kind of reminded me of what you were saying now, you know, that we are perfect as is, and that's something that has taken me a lot of years to learn, but I know that now, and it's kind of exciting when you realize that.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're there. how much minutes do we have left? Because there's one thing I definitely want to talk about real quick.
Yeah, and that's the Raw Spirit Festival.
Yes, you read my mind.
we're going to close the show with Hell Is, and that's 5 minutes. So you've got about 4 minutes left to tell us about anything you want to tell us about.
Okay, fantastic. Pretty much right now I'm working with a festival. It's based in Sedona, Arizona. It's called the Raw Spirit Festival, and it focuses in on raw, vegan, conscious living, eco-sustainable solutions. And this year we're actually expecting 5,000 people to show up, so it's kind of like heaven on earth, as my friend Tanya describes, and it's just 3 days of pure bliss. And the reason I really got involved in it is because people don't really realize that what they eat and what they put into their body, and I actually didn't even realize this, is what you put into your body actually alters your mentality, it changes your soul, and it changes your consciousness. And we're really kind of promoting people to start eating healthy, because I just got sick and tired of losing people to cancer and all these diseases that aren't even real. They're completely manufactured, and we're just live in a world that's hooked on prescription drugs, and nature has kind of provided us all the things that we need to take care of ourselves, and we just become kind of a lazy, brainwashed society that really stopped becoming conscious of what they're putting into their body. So that's another one of my things. My poetry has actually gotten a lot more conscious lately, ever since I've started eating a raw diet. So yeah, so that's kind of my my new chapter of my life.
Is there a website or anything like that you can give out so people can check that out?
Yes, the site is rawspirit.com, and you can get all the information. You can register. We're going to have a poetry stage, so I am formally inviting everybody listening to come out, and I will definitely get you on the poetry stage for the open mic. There's going to be thousands of people there. There's going to be dozens of doctors, spiritual people. It's just such an amazing gathering of conscious people, and I promise you that it will change your life if you guys come out. So it's rawspirit.com.
Well, make sure that you, if you want, run over and post that information on the Speakeasy page too, so that we have that, and I'll make sure I get that out for you too.
Thank you so much. That would mean a lot to me.
Yay. And there was one other thing you wanted to talk about. Something about, what was it? Oh, now I can't remember. Do you remember?
Was it the audition?
Something about, no, it was about numbers of something about poet diary. Oh, what was it, Michael? Do you remember?
Yearbook?
I gave you the link. Yearbook.
My yearbook?
Yeah, that's yearbook, right.
So this week, if you go to myyearbook.com, they have a poetry section. And you can actually post your poetry up there and get feedback. It's fantastic. Right now I have I posted a poem about like raw food and kind of it's just and right now it's the most viewed poem on the website, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I suggest everybody go there and kind of post their poem. It's pretty cool to get the feedback.
And that's mydiary.com.
No, it's myyearbook.com, and then click on more, and poetry. And then if you click on hot or hits, it'll kind of show you. Right now I have the top two viewed poems, and that is so awesome to me. Because it's a poem about, like, you know, raw food diets, and that's not really a mainstream topic, and it's just so awesome to me that people are – it just shows me that people are starting to become more conscious towards that movement.
Wonderful. Well, dear, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show with us. And, you know, I'm really glad that you call in and share your poetry with us when you get a chance to do that because, you know, you definitely are one of my very favorites. I just think you're an incredible person. And I am very glad that you came on tonight and shared with us. And if you guys didn't catch the whole interview, make sure that you check it out in archives and, you know, make sure you leave a comment for Apollo and let him know you appreciate him being here with us tonight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate and I love all of you, and I'm grateful for all of you. And can I just close it out with a quote real quick?
Yes, and then
okay.
I'll go and tell your piece.
And when I say the word God, everyone kind of already knows where my views on it. I think God, whatever God means to you, the universe, the energy, you know, let that resonate with you with the quote. This is one of my favorite quotes. And so goodbye to everybody, and I'd just like to say, if who you are is your gift from God, then who you become is your gift to God. So take that with you. Peace and love, and namaste.
Thank you, sweetheart. Good night, everybody. This is Hell Is by Apollo.
Heart. It will be the last word to this poem, but I need to say it now, because mine may be too weak by the time I get to the end. So let that one word echo until then. Heart.
Heart.
I remember
heart.
When I was just a young kid, growing up, learning about life, using my imagination, so hungry for knowledge. I remember when I was just a young kid, running up to the ice cream truck, Saturday morning cartoons. The only page in the newspaper that I loved were the drawings. Trying to figure out the back of the cereal boxes. Yes, I remember when I was just a young kid, and then I turned into a teen. I started to have dreams, and as bad as things seemed, I used to always make them worse. My parents tried the best that they could, but I always caused them so much pain. For everything that those other kids had that I didn't have, I needed somebody to blame. The more that I complained, the worse that I felt. These are the cards that I was dealt, but I kept to myself. I think about the innocence in youth, the ignorance in truth, the serenity in lies. My memories just die, and now as I'm older, I realize that the world's gotten colder. But what if I told you that you're lucky? That you're lucky to even be able to listen to these words tonight. You're lucky you can walk out of your home without feeling fright. You're lucky for every day, for every night, for everybody that's in your life. For having a voice, for having sight, for having hands to pick up and write. Yes, you're lucky that you're even alive, to have a job, to be able to drive. You would realize that you were lucky if you stopped looking at those who had money and started looking at those who were hungry. Every morning I open my eyes and I inhale my first breath. And I say thank you for giving me one more day to prepare myself for death. This life that was given to me is truly a blessing. It's far from heaven. Yes, I get this. But at least it's closer to heaven than closer to where hell is. Hell is the first drop of blood that drips down a 10-year-old thigh. A man on top of her and she can't get out her cries. It doesn't take too long for her to realize that she's looking into her father's eyes. Hell is young chicks being trained to love quick, sent overseas on bunk ships.
traded the pins for hundreds. At 12, they're trained to suck it and push it, then plumb it and stay within the budget. This one chick couldn't fit the condom on one hip, so she let him rush it. She was on her way to having one kid. It would have been a son then, one hit from this bum's wrist. He hit with just one fist and left a dead body rotting in her stomach. She treated her baby like shit and flushed it. Hell is right down a dark alley, a man bleeds with a belt around his arm he can't see. But at least he's happy and at peace. He says, pass me the glass piece, one last feast. But sadly, this man feels he can't breathe. Pulls out his wallet and then sees his family as he sheds his last tear. Hell is a Mexican slave, breaking his back for American pay. His cousins are involved in the heroin trade, but he chose to raise his family in a much better way. But hell, he will pay every day. He rests in the shade, on the corner like a prostitute, he steps to the plate. He steadily waits and then gets his way, when a big Escalade gets him some pay. Some bricks he will lay, for $4 an hour, the sun melts him away. He yells for some rain, he thinks to himself, there must be a better way. But now his chest is in pain, he's breathing with the heaviest weight. His breath is delayed, the sun has got him red in the face. As he falls to the ground, he thinks about his daughter. A heat stroke, and now she doesn't have a father. Hell is a poem like this that can go on with so many different stories. And nobody's willing to pay it forward if it doesn't involve the glory. You don't give love in order to get love. You give love in order to become love. I remember when I was just a young kid, innocent as one can get, I used to love it. I remember when I was just a young kid. Now I look back, I appreciate the fact that my body's still intact, that I can read and do math, that I can think about my past, that I can cry and I can laugh. Imagine if you could feel the entire world's pain for just one second. It'd feel like an eternity of hell, and then you'd feel blessed with the opportunity of right now. Because the only thing that matters in the world is right now. So let your light shine now, so bright that it could never die out. Why now? Because tomorrow is not promised, and yesterday is gone. And after we pass away, our spirit will move on. The life that we end up living is the life that we choose. And if you make the best out of every day, you can never lose. So go out there and say thank you. I hope you hear my message. I hope there was a reason for the lines. No fear, be brave, and do something with your time. And know that there is no ending, and there will never be a start if you just block out your mind and follow your heart.